This is Spectrum.
Alternative Myth, Homeopathy, Secret Society, Hypnosis, The Paranormal, Alternative Energy, UFO Abduction, The Weird, The Wild, And The Wonderful.
With your hosts, Tom Theophanis and Scott Jordan.
Hello, good evening, welcome to the Spectrum Radio Network on BBS Radio 2. I'm Scott Jordan, and remember, there's no such thing as too much information. Well, I'm here with Dan Winter, and Dan Winter's background is as multifaceted as his viewpoint. Graduating with honors from the University of Detroit, Dan pursued graduate studies in psychophysiology and the origin of languages. In addition to his academic background, he's worked as a system analyst for IBM, an industrial metallurgist, and crystal geography. Dan is an accomplished keyboard artist and is a consultant on multimedia and virtual reality computer animation projects and travels and lectures around the world. He has produced over 50 videos on numerous subjects. His website is goldenmean.info and is loaded with information and videos. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show.
Well, I thank you. It sounds like fun. I like what you do.
Yeah, thanks. What I wanted to get into today is fractal field, the fractal field technologies and biotech. First of all, could you just maybe give me a little bit of history before we get into that about yourself?
Sure. Yes, we were doing psychophysiology and biofeedback and became intrigued with the nature of peak perception. I have two inventions, the heart tuner, where I invented the word and the measurement of heart coherence using a second-order power spectra, the EKG. It's a biofeedback to measure empathy. It's widely used in tantra training as well, the heart tuner, which is my invention. And then the bliss tuner, which measures brain waves for peak perception, bliss, and enlightenment. And I pioneered the concept of measuring brainwave power spectra for golden mean ratio, which is an indicator of basically enlightenment. It's when you're body's aura gets fractal and centripetal, you attract charge, and that sort of defines peak perception and enlightenment. So measuring brainwaves for a golden ratio is a powerful tool, which I invented and developed in my invention, the Bliss Tuner. It's all at goldenmean.info. Anyway, the point here in terms of background for fractal field is that that golden mean ratio in brainwaves is evidence of the onset of what's called phase conjugation, because golden mean optimizes the adding and multiplying, which is the conjugation of phases, which in physics is the only place they've discovered self-organization. And it led to my new theory that phase conjugation is the cause of perception, and later we now know it's also the cause of gravity. So it's pretty exciting stuff. And to visualize it, phase conjugation, the geometry is as simple as visualizing a caduceus, which is perfect damping defined by golden ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And in three dimensions, it makes the picture, which is animated at goldenmean.info/grail, which is literally a grail cup in 3D. You can start by imagining a rose. So when electric fields make a picture like a rose, they become implosive and centripetal, and that is the solution to almost every mystery of science and spirituality, in my humble view, including alchemy and the origin of gravity, the origin of color, the origin of perception, and the origin of life itself. And it's called fractal field theory, and we talk more at fractalfield.com. So there's a little intro, and there's lots of technologies that go with it.
And lots of information on your website as well. It's pretty packed. You got lots of different areas there. What exactly is a fractal field?
Well, in non-electrical engineering terms, it's been called orgone or scalar or torsional. And these terms, some people just call it information, which is too vague. But now in precise electrical engineering terms, it's called a phase conjugate dielectric. And as Tom Bearden wrote for years, those are bioactive, and I'm the first to really measure and describe in detail the symmetry and produce and further measure the bioactivity. For example, an example of a phase-conjugate dielectric is a gold crown put on the head of a king. It accelerates metabolism and forces pure intention, and the way we measure that is something I'd like to talk about.
Okay. And what are the effects of that on biology?
Well, you see, let's start with a chicken egg or a pine cone, that if you measure the voltage end to end on a chicken egg, it will be about 4 to 14 millivolts, which that voltage is called life, and it comes from gravity. And that voltage got there because it's fractal. And that voltage came from gravity. And making that voltage is the difference between life and death in every biological protein, basically. And so if you look at the geometry that causes that voltage to be present, the electronegativity that identifies life, a centripetal force, it gets there because the structure is electrically fractal. Witness the fact that every living protein is five-sided for that reason, because golden mean ratio is required. Right. So the reason that pine cones and chicken eggs get voltage from gravity, they do it the same way your heart does, by getting fractal. So the bumper sticker for this movement is get fractal or get dead. So once you understand that, you understand that every living thing has to be fractal or it dies. And now we know that include houses and cities. So houses and cities need to look like and be made of the same materials as living pine cones. And then the life inside will thrive. So to prove that, in biophysics, we build these devices called a phase conjugate dielectric or fractal field. Example, Pyraphi.com, P-Y-R-A-P-H-I, which is a five-sided pentagold pyramid, which is phase conjugate. It's basically a modern-day Ark of the Covenant. Or fractalfield.com/icosify. People can see dramatic examples. In these structures, we have measured replicated 40 to 60% increase in metabolic rate, say in fermentation, even though there's zero power applied. And so it creates an electric field which is centripetal, which accelerates life, because life is the centripetal nature of the field. Also, these structures reduce electrosmog and reduce radioactivity, as did the Ark of the Covenant, made of similar materials and similar geometry. These are based on log functions of golden ratio times Planck length and Planck time, which is what I've newly proved is the geometry of hydrogen.
Oh, you're doing some work in Australia on that. Could you tell me a little bit about that? Because it connects, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. Basically, I was the first to write the equation to prove that Planck length times golden ratio precisely profoundly predicts the radii of hydrogen, goldenmean.info/goldenproof. And further, then I developed a series of equations, Planck time, golden ratio, that predicted the frequencies of hydrogen. So I have new information in my new physics, in my new equations, for both the radii and frequency of hydrogen, which leads us to perfect the frequency and electric field to sing to water, to make it burn. Examples would be include the Canisius effect, the Stan Myers, the Josel, the Magna Gas Santilli. All these devices are basically a subset of what I now have as a master set of equations, which predicts precisely the frequencies to burn water. And that will be the end of the energy crisis for sure. And so we have support and some funding and fancy toys and RF spectrum analyzers and high-frequency six generators and the whole fun. And a bunch of us are getting together in Melbourne. Actually, we leave in 2 days. And we're playing with our toys.
Right. Does this have anything to do with what Bearden talked about, the negative energy?
Tom Bearden really, he overdid the fear thing with his Excalibur briefing, but he got onto something very helpful in his papers on phase conjugate dielectrics and how they're bioactive. Mm-hmm. He's getting a bit old now, and he sort of missed the golden ratio, but he got the idea, the Priori device and others, that these electric fields are profoundly bioactive and predict healing, and we now know why, and we now know how to measure it and how to make it. So it has a lot to do with a lot of Bearden's writings. I summarize our relationship to that work of Bearden at goldenmean.info/phase-conjugate.
Okay, that's very interesting. So you guys are, there's a collection of people, you being one of them, that is getting together in Australia to do what, practical experimentation?
People can read the description of our hydrogen fusion project at fractalfield.com/hydrogen. And basically, now that I know the frequency signature to ring hydrogen, you can very efficiently do hydrolysis, radical efficiency. It's an implosive field effect that takes low wattage in to gently sing the hydrogen atom out of water. It's the same as the physics of the heart of the sun, basically. The fact that golden ratio times, produces both the radii and frequencies of hydrogen times Planck is absolute proof that hydrogen is profoundly fractal. We've been working for years with our friend Pat Flanagan on this, who appears at a lot of our conferences, and we have a bunch of commercial projects underway with him. And it's fun.
And this can be used practically. This can be used to power homes, to power cars.
It's really very simple. When you know how to burn water, there is no energy crisis. It can be used to power anything.
Now, can you connect that? Just curious, can you connect that with desalination plants? Or does it matter whether the water is seawater?
Yeah, the energy to make steam is related. I mean, a parallel technology is my implosion technology, theimploder.com, where we've also measured the ability to eliminate chlorine in water. That basically, when you combine various forms of centripetal force, let's call it Schauberger's dream, mm-hmm. implosion technology, theimploder.com, you see that we have the angle of a water vortex designed by the equation for hydrogen and Planck, which is called phase conjugation hydrodynamically. And then from the output of that centripetal nozzle vortex, you can see the 3D animations at theimploder.com. Then we input to what's called a phase conjugate magnetic array, which I invented. In phase conjugate magnetics, the like poles of the magnet attract and further eliminate pain. And when we array them within a 9-pair gap, which is the plasma physics of self-organization, you have a phase conjugate magnetic, which is motorized by the centripetal spin hydrodynamically at the molecular level. And what comes out is a water molecule that's stable basically as a monomolecule. For the same physics of why a gold atom is stable in the monoatomic state in a phase conjugate dielectric, like the Ark of the Covenant, you have that condition of monomolecular stability or reduced molecular cluster size in water, which results in drastically increased solubility and all kinds of... So we're getting 30 to 300% growth effects in agriculture and improved hydration and all kinds of fun stuff in water. Read right. it all at theimploder.com.
And you can... So what we're getting is we're getting healing technologies, energy technologies...
All kinds, a complete range of technologies. For example, when Elizabeth Rauscher with FDA study proved that magnetic harmonics eliminate pain, I was the first to write the equation to predict what those harmonics are. And it is phase conjugate magnetics, and now she agrees with me.
And is there a product available for that?
The closest product available for that would be fractalfield.com/icosify. Okay. And you'll see there the phase conjugate dielectric is pictured. The phase conjugate magnetic is being installed, but that's still experimental. Yeah. But we're quite clear the physics of why it eliminates pain. Pain is basically fractal field that's bleeding fractality due to the loss of fractal symmetry. So when you restore compression, you eliminate pain and accelerate healing. For example, when you shoot a profound negative ion wind at the body and eliminate most kinds of infection if you have proper grounding, that is the restoration of a centripetal field. You can do that magnetically as well. And that's called phase conjugate magnetics, and I invented it.
You keep working on this stuff, you're going to live forever.
Well, actually, immortality is a name for restored charge distribution efficiency, like when the Hopi ancestors, start dying because they put metal pipes on the old Arabi. It's because the charge circulation in the landscape, when it's fractal, is the plasma field of ancestors.
Okay. So that's a possibility then, you say. Do you think that's a possibility within our lifetime?
Well, if you look at the electrical measurements that Korotkov did of the death process and where the plasma field goes, we now know where it goes, why it goes, and what the sequence of symmetry operations are. You can read it all, see the pictures, goldenmean.info/immortality.
Mm. And that's connected to, you did a video series about DNA as well.
Quite a few.
It was a 12-part series, I believe.
Well, it originally was a DVD set that filmed in Belgium, and then various people reprinted parts of it. We have probably about 100 DVDs in about 6 different languages and thousands of different film clips on the web. I don't keep track of them all. But, yes, the original film was called The Purpose of DNA.
Exactly. Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, you did a slideshow and everything. What I found very interesting about that was the fractality of the heart and the and how the muscles worked, and they twisted as they squeezed.
It's what we know, that the fibers of Purkinje, where the heart gets the voltage of fire, are profoundly fractal, Dr. Ari Goldberg's work. But now we know in the power spectrum of the EKG, the onset of fractality is the vitality defined of the immune system. It's the centripetal force restored, which is why the heart basically, you know, has the voltage available to beat when you're under a tree. But if you're in a metal building, you're going to die eventually because you don't have the fractality to charge your heart. So the paper on what you're referring to was called "The Heart Is Not a Pump" by Marinelli in Detroit. And basically, in the anthroposophic tradition, he showed that the seven layers of the heart muscle, which we know from Lawrence Edwards' work, Vortex of Life, are in the seven spin, tilt, symmetry, axial angles of the tetrahedron, according to the dissections of Pettigrew. And so the seven spins of the tetra are defining the not just the seven layers of the heart muscle, but the heart of the sun and the angel and a bunch of other stuff, the origin of Hebrew. So the reason the heart muscle layers fire in that sequence, depending on the angle of the approaching voltage field, is then the heart can throw a donut in any angle of tilt, and those vortex tornadoes are sustained sonically throughout the bloodstream. And it's called "The Heart Is Not a Pump." It throws the blood in an angular vortex. It's tossing out a sequence of donuts in a sequence of angles, which is the origin of Hebrew, actually. But it's another story.
I found that very interesting, the fact that the heart was twisting and throwing the blood out as a vortex. That was brilliant.
Yeah. If you kind of throw your hand around as you grab a knot, and you see your hand is creating a little tornado, the angle of incidence of those vortex tornadoes, which is the physics of the origin of Hebrew, is indexed by the seven spin tilt symmetries of the tetra. Because if you know how to assemble donuts in the symmetry of the tetra, you can build DNA, basically. So the origin of that physics of the alphabet and the origin of heart muscle and the origin of the sonics of the heart that create the immune system is all the same physics, seven by five spin symmetry. It's called the ANU physics.
You mentioned something there just while saying that. That is another lead-in, and that's architecture. And you feel that the way architecture is way buildings are built, the way the architecture that we live in, that's important. That there's something that can be done there. Differently.
We're essentially recommending that no architect be paid until it's proven that the building design causes a seed to germinate electrically. And once you know how to do that, then you could be an architect. Until then, you're a failure. So every biology department on planet Earth basically should be fired because they don't know what life is because they're located in a metal building.
Right. That's square.
So that's proof that those biologists don't know what life is. So they don't deserve to have a job.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, we invented the curriculum called Biologic Architecture. We have international conferences in many countries. The whole curriculum is at goldenmean.info/architecture. And we have people on countries all over the world practicing this now. And it's really very simple. Once you know what causes life, which is the electric field that causes life, it's called fractal, based on pine cone physics, then you know how to build a building. You can build a building that makes the correct electric field to cause biology to thrive. It's very simple. And here is how you measure it. You take a simple little spectrum analyzer and you measure for harmonic inclusiveness in the center. That will predict charge compression. It's identical what Korotkov measures as fractality in air with a GdV. We agreed completely, Korotkov and I. And when you measure that, you predict whether or not that electric field will cause a seed to germinate and cause life to happen. And once you know that, then you can be an architect. Until then, you're fired.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me, but I'm getting a little Scorpio in my old age. But that curriculum is very advanced. There's architects all over the world working on that physics. And it means that steel and aluminum are poison because they make a capacitor that's harmonically exclusive instead of harmonically inclusive. And that's why they kill germinating seeds. So do not send your children to a school made of metal because they lose their soul there.
Right.
It's simple. It's because
Now if we were going to make a building that was conducive to life and learning and living.
Yes.
What would we build?
Well, the Steiner people did have that part right. The children would only touch basically living stone, living fabric, and living material like wood. And the reason is that those structures are what's called phase conjugate in their dielectric, which means they're harmonic inclusive, that every molecule that was once part of life has been shoved into a fractal and therefore supports the charge distribution called life and mind. It's very simple. Here's the experiment. you grab a piece of aluminum, hold it in your hand, and you notice that your aura dies and you die. And it's because the electric field of that aluminum is harmonically exclusive and prevents charge distribution efficiency and therefore mind. Prevents your aura from growing. Mm-hmm. Prevents charge from compression is the opposite of fractal and phase conjugate. Now, if you take in your hand a piece of great hardwood or living fabric or anything like that, you can feel into it and your aura can propagate through it and mind can inhabit. That means that if there's a metal roof on your house, it's not only preventing you from dreaming well, but it prevents you from birthing and dying well.
Okay. What about, are you there?
I carry on, but you know, my enthusiasm.
No, it's good that you have the enthusiasm. Now that we know the materials, is there a particular shape, a geometry that we can build those buildings that's better and more?
If you look at the electric field measurement of what the Aboriginals called the dreaming track or the song line, you see a river of magnetic conductivity, which is where you need to go when you dream or die. It's the only place you can go when you dream or die. Otherwise, you're toast. So step one is make a magnetic map of your bed and then your house and then your garden and then your town and then your planet. And they all need to look like a rose, which is the magnetic map of Prague, Bohemia. And the reason that map enables lucid dreaming in Prague is because it's a rose, which is called fractal. And that enables charge distribution. And that's how you propagate life. So there's the geometry for you. It's a rose.
It's a rose. So if we can build a building in the shape of a rose.
And when you teach that to electrical engineers, it means you start by making a magnetic map of your site, and then you find the centripetal charge, the charge compression places, which predict seed germination. Like Stonehenge, you get about, 30 to 50% improvement in germination. We now know why. The Stonehenge was a capacitor to prevent aging, which is what's called the Garden of Eden. And this was a technology for life extension based on electric field theory.
So we do have the capacity for learning more about life extension, and you guys are working on proving that.
Exactly.
Okay, we're going to have to go for a quick break now, so we'll catch you on the other side.
Cool.
You've always been told to think about the alternative. Well, we can do better. We can show you. AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com will improve your health, well-being, and lifestyle through hundreds of different products, from herbs and well-being products to our large selection of specialty clothing, jewelry, and more. We ship around the world with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. There's always new products and amazing specials. Let us show you at AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com.
Are you suffering from constant pain in the knee, shoulder, wrist, and other parts of your body? Needle-free acupuncture with Lapingo Life Pads may be the answer. Lapingo Life Pads combine ancient wisdom with modern nanotechnology and advanced engineering. They're designed to relieve pain naturally with no needles and no side effects. That's Lepingo, LapingoProducts.com.
And we're back with Dan Winter, who has a website called goldenmean.info. That's www.goldenmean.info. And you can go there and see a lot of videos and all kinds of amazing information. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to cover right now? I'd like to talk a little bit about sacred geometry, if we could. I know you're sort of instrumental in that.
Yeah, it's kind of where I sort of got a reputation. But the concept of sacred geometry just means sustainable wave symmetry, and it's merely introduction to quantum mechanics. I mean, the fact that we now have proof that the golden ratio is the structure of hydrogen and the definition of what's called the grail in the blood, it means the only way wave interference becomes sustainable. So the concept of the sacred there only refers to sustainable wave interference, which is a problem solved by golden ratio.
Right. Okay, so that's the sacred geometry. And you've done a bunch of videos on that, and they're available on your website.
Hundreds.
Hundreds. You've done all kinds of stuff.
Been at this for 30 years.
Nah, you're not. You're gonna be immortal. You're gonna figure this all stuff out in no time at all, and that's it.
Well,
you're gonna be number one of the number the first guy who's immortal. So
well, actually, what it's about is growing your aura. Honestly, that is the definition of success. For example, if you think a thought which is shareable, you can measure the increase in your aura size because the plasma recognizes where sustainability lies, defining pure intention, coherence perfected by fractality. So when you measure your aura, you're predicting whether you're going to take something with you when you dream and when you die. If you can't lucid dream, you won't take anything with you when you die. And the symmetry, what you see when you die, called the Kluwe form constants, which is a sequence of symmetry operations of DNA, which is the map to successful dying, is basically your DNA saying, get ready to compress, implode, and distribute charge, which is another way of saying, get fractal or get dead. And that's how you join the communion of saints or the collective unconscious, which is basically the charge distribution supported by fractality in the environment.
Now, do you think that that connects to the collective? That one individual making a change would affect maybe the people around them or humanity as a whole? Or
yes, that's exactly right. The profound physics of the collective unconscious is precisely what the phase conjugate dielectric is. Read the paper Allison Barium Titanate Land about phase conjugate dielectrics. They're self-organizing. They know what's happening to each other at a distance. And it's really simply because when the field becomes centripetal, the communication at the center of that fractal, like at the tip of the pine cone, is superluminable by powers of golden ratio times the speed of light. And that's the definition of all profound multiple connectedness and time travel and a bunch of other good stuff. And that syrupy centripetal collective field is absolutely collectively aware when any part of it learns to better support survival. So when you think thoughts, which are what's called shareable, which is coherence perfected by fractality, power spectra golden ratio, that basically causes you to become an attractor for charge, living plasma.
Right.
And that is the mechanism, what's called grace in church.
And if you have that attraction, you can affect other people around you or the whole.
That's right.
You become part of a drop in the well, right?
Right. The bliss has critical mass, and it's contagious for that reason.
Okay.
And it's measured by power spectra of the golden ratio. It starts in brainwaves and EKG.
And you found this in your research as well?
Been measuring that for 15 years, 10
long
years.
Long time, long time. Okay, now you mentioned time travel. And
I did.
That's one of my particular, I love that area. It's one of my, I'm fascinated with time travel and the concept of it. Do you have anything you can tell us more in depth about time travel and how one
I provided
that?
The equation that's new proof that the only self-organization in time is fractal, goldenmean.info/coincidence. So the physics of coincidence and time synchronicity begins with understanding fractality and time. To understand that, you need to know that time only names the period of charge rotation. So the rotation of charge is both the only definition of mass and time. Once you begin to understand that, and then you see that Planck, time constant times golden ratio, not only predicts hydrogen frequencies, but the Earth year and the Venus year directly. And I wrote the new equations to prove that. So I wrote the only real proof that time is fractal. And that's the only way the waves of charge rotating called time, self-organized, become centripetal. So when you embed well in that system of fractal charge distribution, then you become part of that distribution, you can travel in time. Example, the only reason why, you know, Jodie Foster in the film Contact could time travel was because the capacitor antenna was dodecahedral, which is stellation golden ratio.
Right.
Or
She only experienced, she experienced a long time dilation, and the people that were producing the experiment only experienced her dropping into the water. There was a discrepancy there in time.
Well, it's not unlike lucid dreaming, but the physics of lucid dreaming begin with understanding why the magnetic map of your bed must be fractal and your aura must be fractal and phase coherent. Just like the electric environment capacitance around Philadelphia and Montauk were phase conjugate. That even you could even tell in advance who could time travel by the spectrum analysis of DNA. We're going to learn that measurement of soul and ability to time travel starts with understanding how to spectrum analyze DNA, because you can see phase coherence and phase conjugation in the braid, and that is a clue that the charge propagation is becoming perfected coherence was called fractal or phase conjugate. And that indicates time travel capability. It's called boson 7. Montauk's called microchloridians in blood in the Star Wars movies.
Oh, yeah, microchloridians, yeah. So do you think that we can use this practically?
It effectively means that the same process by which your aura gets big, mm-hmm. the process by which you learn how to lucid dream, when you train that and become skilled at it, it's called time travel.
Right.
It basically means that subcomponent harmonics of your own aura or plasma propagate by golden ring ratio times the speed of light phase velocities, which is called time travel. And there's some very specific limiting conditions there. For example, you can do it in environments which are phase conjugate, you know, like a sacred stone circle, better. But if you try it in a metal building in an ugly city, expect to become toast.
Yeah, or non-happening results, right?
Essentially, charge propagation efficiency defines all conscious and spiritual advancement, and that includes time travel.
Okay. How about teleportation?
Similar physics. You know, that the ability to, the TM meditators float better under gold domes because they're dielectrically phase conjugate.
Right.
So, and the ability to create thrust capacity is the same physics.
So moving from one place to another place, you know, as possible. Have you heard of Anderson? There's a gentleman named Anderson doing work with slowing down time.
I think I did read something about that. And it does make sense. In the same way that now we learn new physicists are puzzled because the max solar output has dramatically affected what they thought was a constant, a radioactive decay. But I now know why, because a phase conjugate dielectric will reduce radioactive decay. And we know why, because it's centripetal. The same reason the Ark of the Covenant was used to contain their nukes.
Ah, okay. Right, right. Yeah, I think Nassim mentioned something about that.
Well, Nassim measured the fact that in his magnetic plasma environment, he measured the fact that it prevented a flower from decaying. I think I provide a better explanation of how that works, which is the field became centripetal magnetically, which is the same reason our purify and icosify accelerate metabolism.
Do you have, there's a lot of buzz right now about the sun, about the activity on the sun and
yes,
stuff going on right now with the sun
big
that
time.
Is unusual.
Big time.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I have a lot of thoughts on that, absolutely.
I'd love to hear them. I mean, it's something I study and I'm very interested in what's going on. I just don't quite get it.
I suspect there's a high probability that most of the population of Earth will not survive the next few years because of the solar maxima, would be my speculation. And further, the very nature of the solar compression wave is get fractal or get dead, because only fractal spin systems do not heat during compression, and that's the absolute key. Advanced form of that is to understand that people who really have advanced plasma can not only steer tornadoes, but they can steer the solar wind.
Yeah.
That is the key.
That is the key.
It's the physics of what the religious fundamentalist Catholics who walked out of the voting booths of Ohio, having stupidly elected George Bush, the Christian fundamentalists call the left behind, so how to survive the rapture. What they're calling rapture actually is the physics of charge compression. And you can survive charge compression only if you're fractal. And that's an introduction to surviving the solar wind.
Right.
So just for the same reason that a tornado will measurably go out of its way to destroy a metal trailer park, whereas it will visibly avoid touching a sacred stone temple, is because the metal trailer park is perceived by the living plasma as pain.
Right.
And that is a clue to what part of this planet is going to survive or not survive the solar wind. So if you're living in a square metal city, expect to be toast.
Right. And if you're living in Prague, you're okay. You're good to go.
Well, you need distance.
There's metal buildings there.
To be embedded in nature, you know, you need to be in a fractal environment.
Right.
Very clearly.
Now, do you
think... that's an introduction to solar maxima. And my view is, I agree with NASA that countries... There will probably be many. It's kind of it's a gamble, but there's probably be many countries where when the Carrington event comes, the EMF pulse, that enough transformers go down in quite a few countries that they never recover. And NASA announced that. So right. That's a clue. That you should, need to be ready to survive for a long time without power.
That should be a clue. Now, also, there's been a lot of talk about the sun affecting DNA.
Yes, well, but just before I conclude that, and phase conjugate dielectrics can be used to survive, surround a transformer, and reduce the EMF pulse on that transformer, because phase conjugates eliminate electrosmog for the reason that they're implosively centripetal.
So that would protect them. To a degree, it would protect them.
Yes, to a degree. Basically, if you understand the physics of conductivity, which is the molecular jitterbug to the icosa, when it's phase conjugation to center, it becomes superconductive, like a thread of DNA or a thread of gold.
Right, right. Okay, so now you think that the sun will affect DNA?
Well, basically, DNA is programmed to become a gravity-making device to steer lightning, as we say, to steer tornadoes. And physics is only about tornadoes. There's nothing else in physics. String theory, wormhole, vortex. So the way living plasma steers a tornado is become centripetal and spin dense. And the way that happens in DNA is every time you have a little bit of bliss, and it's measurable, you do the power spectrum, EKG, EEG, the DNA mechanically responds piezoelectrically by braiding. I predicted it and Glenn Ryan measured it. The phase conjugate braiding of DNA responds to the coherent EKG. So the DNA absorbs the spin of its environment by centripetally becoming more phase conjugate and coherent in the braid, where the long wave is superposed more and more coherently on the short wave in the mechanics of braiding and DNA. goldenmean.info/DNA manifesto. Lots of pictures. Anyway, so eventually, the more and more you have bliss experience leading to Kundalini, your DNA becomes implosive, gravity-making. You know, Peter Gurdjieff, he's a friend. And DNA was designed to do that. So if you support lots more and more bliss experience, eventually your body becomes very plasma-dense, and you can steer things like the solar wind, and you got a chance at survival.
Now, do you put a date on this like the Mayans do? December 21st, 2012?
I think the 2012 stuff is mostly crap. I think it's going to happen before then.
Really? Before?
Yeah, I think within the next year we're going to see a lot of it.
Did you see there was a weird eruption on Venus?
There's all kinds of stuff happening. The sun is burping all over the place. I mean, any good solar physicist is shaking in his boots right now, and damn well should be.
Yeah, there's actually a huge storm on the sun right now as we're speaking.
Exactly. That sun is having its orgasm. And you know, when the sun has an orgasm, everything in the environment that ain't fractal gets toasted.
Yeah, it's pretty damaging. So you think that the 2012 thing is just...
I mean, they got it wrong. Off. It's simple. The climax events, a lot of them are going to happen next year.
Really, next year? And what would what would be examples of climax events?
Let's see. What just happened to New York City and Paris is a good introduction in London.
What just happened?
Well, you know, New York City, Paris, and London just got toasted with the worst winter thing that happened.
Oh yeah, yeah, the winter. Okay. Yeah,
yeah, and it ain't hardly begun yet. And I mean, you know, after this last lunar eclipse, we had how many earthquakes?
A lot.
And that's just an introduction.
Right. So you're talking earthquakes.
It's extreme energy-dense compression, and the Earth is going to be shaking in her boots. We need a couple million people learning to have bliss and meditation and extreme focus, and we could steer that solar wind. And that's been measured. You know, when they had a million children sing at the same moment, they measured the effect on the solar flares 11 different times.
Right. Okay. And what was the result?
The solar flares are get calm there. The sun gets peaceful.
Okay. So that settles down.
If you look at the physics, Bill Tiller's book, Conscious Acts of Creation, he showed that focused human attention compresses charge. He did not have a clue how that works, but he had proof that it does work. Now, we need to teach how that works. Then we can understand our sun. The reason focused human attention causes charge to compress is it's centripetal, it's fractal, it's phase constant. And so that's how, when, for example, when Uri Geller measured that focused human attention reduces radioactive half-life, that's a clue to how you inhabit the sun. And the skill to do that is called Anu, or sun god, which is the meaning of Tuatha De Danann or Daniel or whatever.
Oh, the Tuatha De Danann, that's the Celtic mythology.
Yeah, people of the gods. It comes from the Anunnaki story, Anu. Basically, if your ET arrives in a metal ship, they're the bad guys. If the ET arrives in a plasma made of genetic field that came through the heart of the sun, then they're worth talking to.
Right, which is why. Do you think that has something to do with the fact that a lot of the UFO reports are just lights, and lights they can manipulate? They can change into three lights. They can get bigger. They can get smaller. They can phase.
I could talk at length about my point of view on ET. A lot of people are going to find that a bit shocking. I prefer to kind of stick to the electrical engineering as an intro. But basically, there's at least 22 different extraterrestrial groups that have messed with our DNA here. I recommend people look at the Anton Parks material, Zeitlin.net, for the history.
Okay.
But in my view, the history story is a short nightmare that's easy to forget once you learn the physics.
That's easy to forget.
It's actually designed to forget.
Because, you think so?
Yeah, because the pure principle makes the history irrelevant, actually. So once you learn the principle, the history story is kind of a little sideshow.
It's like a sideshow. Okay. So the history is important from a historical point of view. But other than this gentleman you mentioned, does anybody have that history? I mean, how about Zachariah Sitchin? Do you think he was banging on all...
He got some of the local story right. But for example, when he said they were, you know, mining the gold to fix the atmosphere on their home planet, you know, that's about 1% of the story. Of course, first of all, they were eating the gold. And second of all, the way you fix an atmosphere with gold is to do with restored phase conjugation or centripetal force. And, you know, he got about 1% of the physics gold powder. He tried hard, but, you know, the ET part of that story is the biggest part of it, and he didn't have a clue of that. That's why I think Anton Parks is really helpful. Anki or Sam or Nudimud, the cloner, he was basically, they were running from the Orion Wars. They launched from Pleiades, which is the aboriginal story of the origins for most cultures, the Seven Sisters. And when they arrived here, basically they started to age catastrophically. So they had to build these devices that prevented aging called the Shem. I will raise a Shem unto the Lord, which became a word Shaman, Shem-on. And in church it's called the altar, which means a phase conjugate dielectric capacitor, which is an electric field to prevent aging. Because that was their problem.
And I wonder if it was the local Earth gravity that had that effect.
Well, it's true. Like Harkonnen and like Ariel Sharon, you know, it requires an artificial environment in order to survive. Well, they were accustomed to making that artificial environment. And, of course, when they had to come here for desperate emergency gold mining, then they, you know, were shocked at how rapidly they aged. And that's where they learned how to build the Garden of Eden, which is this capacitor to prevent aging. And that's what Akhenaten was designed by the Syrians to fix, the Amarna Amenti, which is to design a capacitor to allow souls to re-inhabit the stars, basically, which is a bliss temple to accelerate human plasma back through the sun. So, and basically, Akhenaten couldn't handle a checkbook and screwed up, changed his name to Moses and learned how to become a gold cup powder cook.
His name to Moses, exactly. Yeah.
And then that's the origin of the Essenes and the Jesus story.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the Moses. I'm trying to remember the name of the author who wrote a book about...
Ahmed Osman.
Exactly. What a brilliant book.
House of the Messiah and Out of Egypt.
Yeah, what a great book.
And that's, by the way, also the origin of the Oedipus story. Because Enki's father, they all killed their fathers.
Yeah, they have a thing about killing their dads to take over power.
I mean, it's called the Draco or Uru culture. And they had a lot of problems, and their genetic problem is our history. And we could play with that history story if you want. I don't know if you want to go into all that tonight, but that's why I recommend Anton Parks. Zeitlin.net, The Ages of Uras, is a good start. I have it summarized at goldenmean.info/angelscience.
Yeah, I mean, it's always very interesting to talk about that. But right now we have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com is your gateway to over 500 products ranging from herbs to pain relief products, health, and well-being. AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com is dedicated to educating and empowering you to make the best possible informed decisions about what products you can use to improve your health and well-being. Visit AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com and bring about change in your life.
If you suffer or know someone that suffers from back pain, knee pain, or any other chronic or sports-related pains, you need to visit LapingoProducts.com. Dealing with pain can affect every aspect of your life, which is why our products are designed to bring you real relief. Our products are not only easy to use, effective, and safe for the entire family, but our prices are competitive and offer a complete satisfaction guarantee. Visit LapingoProducts.com, real life solutions for pain-free living.
Okay, and we're back, and we're talking to Dan Winter, who has a website called www.goldenmean.info.com. And he has many more websites. Now, can you connect to all of your websites through goldenmean.info, or do you have separate?
Well, there's a little different focus. Of course, fractalfield.com mm-hmm. was sponsored when we launched International Conferences of Physicists on Unified Field Science. And then we have breakthrough-technologies.com. And then we have the purify.com, P-Y-R-A-P-H-I, which is the space conjugate dielectric technology. And then we have the imploder.com, which is the implosion technologies applied hydrodynamically, etc. So there's a little different focus, but there's a lot of cross links there.
Now, that one you mentioned with water, is that to do with revitalizing water and the phase conjugate magnetics?
Yes, exactly. The imploder.com basically takes hydrodynamic implosion combined with magnetic implosion and produces a centripetal device for water we call Schauberger's Dream, which we have replicably measured 30 to 300% growth effects applied to agriculture and measured pollution reduction, measured a dramatic reduction in chlorine in water. And there's a shower nozzle version of that you'll see there too. And basically the molecular cluster size, as I said, goes way down. So you get solubility up. And
hey,
it's like making gold powder out of gold. It becomes soluble in water and blood, and you have the life-giving effect.
Now,
and
can you connect that to your tap?
Yes. Although it was originally designed as an agricultural device, it can be plumbed in. There's a new version of that, which is called a commercial version, which takes higher pressures. You can see it all. There's more pictures and more science background of that at fractalfield.com/imploder news.
Yeah, because if everybody had one of those in their house, it would be a good thing.
Well, you know, the concept is so instructive that just looking at it and see how the water implodes tells you how to hold your heart. It's really good.
Right. It's like a teaching device.
Yeah. Well, it's how water becomes centripetal, actually. And, you know, when Schauberger built that vortex, and implosion research at Plymouth in the UK, Jonathan Dolly, you have a 50,000 RPM impeller, and you got a little toroidal shape made out of silver. And you're spinning this vortex, and you dope the water piezoelectrically. And then when the water begins spontaneously getting colder, and you start getting voltage from gravity, and it works so good that Hitler wrote a check for the generator, that the area around the imploder gets blue, and if you sit it on the land somewhere, pollution begins to clear up all around.
Really?
So it's really, you know, Schauberger's dream taken to electrical engineering. But the reason the voltage difference happens between the centripetal bottom point and the periphery point is the same reason you get voltage out of a pine cone.
Right. Only on an inorganic sense. I mean, you're creating a technology, right?
In both cases, you're designing an electric field that creates implosive collapse. Let me give you an example. There's a device called a Steorn device, Irish, that makes voltage. They don't know it, but it comes from gravity. And the reason it gets voltage from gravity is because they got a pulse, and the pulse decay geometry, the caduceus of the K geometry, is phase conjugate. And that's called implosive collapse. Another example is cavitation heating, where if you get the bubbles in the right geometry collapsing in water, you get a net energy gain, cavitation heating. And the reason you do is implosive collapse. Another example, the capacitive cone that Trevor Constable used in weather engineering in the high seas that best made rain was a 60-degree capacitor cone, orgone, specifically for the reason that the phase conjugate implosive angle. So you have implosive charge collapse, which teaches the water vapor become centripetal, which is how droplets form.
Now, you mentioned orgone. That's part of it, right?
Yeah, we think that Wilhelm Reich did not serve by inventing a new word. The correct term is phase conjugate dielectric, phase conjugate field. But, you know, James DeMayo and these people haven't accepted the electrical engineering language, but they've done great work.
Oh, but yeah.
To teach it in correct electrical terms, however, you would not use the word orgone. You'd use the word phase conjugate dielectric. You'd measure it in terms of of harmonic inclusiveness and centripetal force. And that's they do get the seed germination effect, but they don't explain it electrically correctly.
Right, right. Now, would you agree with the electric universe theory?
Yes, absolutely. It's good work because they're describing plasma distribution. 99.99% of the universe is plasma, which is simply a cloud of charge. And the way that charge becomes centripetal is fractal. That's the point. And that's how it enters circulation. And the physics of that is a symmetry set, which is the Ophanimanokian alphabet. John Dee learned and taught Shakespeare, and that's how alchemy was formed.
Right.
It's all fun stuff. goldenmean.info/Ophanim. You can see the whole symmetry set.
And that John Dee was a big character in history and Shakespeare as well, right?
Well, you know, John Dee was the...
And or.
He was the Einstein of his day. He was a specialist in hypercube physics, hyperdimensional mathematics. And he had learned a lot of the languages on planet Earth, and then he said he wanted to talk to the angels, and the Ophanim knocked on his window and handed him a green stone. And the symmetry of the plasma fields in the green stone, which is still in the British Museum, became the Ophanimanokian alphabet. You can see the roots in Greek. And the symmetry of those plasmas, which is the called plasma residue, origin of alphabet, and the sequence of those plasma fields, called Ophanimanokian alphabet, which is Greek and Cherokee and others, basically is how plasma domains become centripetal, which is how interstellar plasma clouds form, speaking of electric universe, which in church you call the bodies of angels. And so when you learn to invoke those symmetry operations correctly, then you call, I mean, you can call storms the size of continents. I've seen it many times. And that's what we need to learn. One of the things we need to learn in order to survive the solar wind, actually.
So you've seen that. Now, have you also seen it? Storms dissipated.
I have to say that in my 20 or 30 years of Kundalini experience, I'm very good at making rain and very bad at stopping it.
So you're a rain maker, not a rain stopper.
Yeah, there's something about my DNA. It's the Tutankhamun memories.
Oh, okay.
See, the priests were using Tutankhamun for weather control because, you know, after 100 generations of pharaohs, each of whom would be fired if he can't make rain, eventually Tutankhamun knows how to make rain.
or lose your job, right?
All right, exactly. So it gets in the DNA, man.
Ah, okay. And now, would that lead to... It's a weird question. I wonder if that would lead to the arranged marriages and genetics and how that how bloodlines and things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think the education on that is to study how the Reverend Mothers in the Dune series selected who should have babies. the Dracos managed the bloodlines of the royal families of planet Earth for 3,000 years like we do show dogs.
So Draco aliens.
Well, the Draco were called the Uru,
yeah,
or
right.
Urast, Alpha Draconis. Alpha Draconis is the shape of the Arabic letter L on the star map of Angkor Wat and the Senshi Pyramids, because that was the home culture of the Alpha Draconis, the Uru culture. And that's basically who we call Grandma or Adam and Eve. And it's the people that Enki's family were running from, or they were part of it. But long story, read Anton Parks. It's good.
Yeah, no, I've seen the whole breakdown video that you have on the history of the human race and stuff. It's absolutely brilliant.
The fun part of that is the genetic story. Basically, the Draco culture had lost the ability to propagate immune systems in their babies, and their kids were no longer getting good jobs because they couldn't steer stars. They couldn't steer
They couldn't star travel.
They couldn't steer Starcraft, what you call a guild navigator in Dune. And what that meant basically was premature aging, loss of ability to lucid dream, and loss of ability to take memory through death, because the DNA was losing phase coherence, because they didn't fundamentally have the idea how a soul gets into DNA, which we now know it becomes phase conjugate and centripetal, requires the hygiene for bliss.
Right.
So they were basically losing it bad. And so at that time, a symptom of the fact that they were losing it was that only cloning was legal for a way to replicate.
Right.
And so Anki's family had to run from them laws of the Dracos, because Anki himself disobeyed the law. And so his family was running away from Pleiades, and they came here, long story. And so that's called the Nephilim, or genetic disaster, the fall. And Anki was a klutz, but he did a few things right. And one of the things he did right was the Cro-Magnon that he selected to genetically engineer. He selected because he saw them exhibit compassion. He'd never seen that before. They were actually being compassionate to other animals. And it turns out that that ability to feel outside as if it's inside, the physics of compassion, which is what makes your blood centripetal in the first place, empathy, is a clue to putting soul back in, basically.
Right. Now, you were saying that it's your belief that the human race has been, tinkered with, has been messed with, has been adjusted. Do you think that's the better or worse?
I think the Earth was a genetic library by design for many millennia, even before that kind of the Draco times, from the galactic core cultures. And everybody fought over getting a library card. But you don't get a library card if you don't know what, if you don't know what DNA is for. Anyway, so we had a genetic diversity here, which was priceless already. And that makes DNA more fractal, more centripetal, and dangerous, but cool. And so obviously everybody fought over getting access to the DNA library. And so, of course, you know, we're the biggest trouble and the biggest solution around. The best soap opera this side of downtown and the whole story.
Right.
But yeah, it's more
That doesn't necessarily mean that we want the humans out in the universe messing with the adults.
No, that's right. There's a quarantine going on. But the fact is that there's a seed of something the universe desperately needs, which is the form of glandular emotions that teaches star steering, basically. It, you know, like the Andromedans said, they were in awe of how fast we could switch emotions. We get the best transistor around. And that means that eventually we are going to steer stars with our glands.
So humans have that.
Pardon?
Humans have that potential. Humans have that.
That's right.
That source code.
The possibility of intense glandular emotion is something that lots of ETs are very jealous about.
Right. And which is why it's such a busy place here. With.
That's right. The line of people who want to incarnate here, it's a long line.
Not to mention all the ships that are showing up.
It's you know, we are the best show around, and obviously, you know, all them different ET races that, you know, independently interfered, even historically. Stuart Swerdlow got a lot of that right. I wrote up that story at goldenmean.info/invasion from his Montauk experience with various ET races. You know, it's the Draco were behind the Jewish story. The flag of Alpha Draconis is the flag of Israel. There's a clue for you. Mm-hmm. You know, so we are a fractal of the Orion Wars here. So we could be the vaccine.
Right. So I wonder if that explains all the different races on the planet.
Well, you know, that is a clue. For example, when Anki did the genetics, he put a piece of fractality that was missing, as it were, and that became the Arcadia story, the Greek, and the Bohem, Bugamesh, Bogorite, and that whole lineage, the Benjaminic line, the Magdalene story, and that's the Dolichophilic skulls of Malta, etc. This is all the sort of Anki Zoroaster lineage, the Sam, Samuel, Spanasambhava, Sam, which is the name that Anton Parks uses. His other name, by the way, was Nudibun, which means the cloner. But when his half-sister, when she
Ninhasurg.
Pardon?
Ninhasurg.
Ninhasurg. And but so when the half-sister Ninhasurg when she gets angry because her brother's just made a nuclear mess of Sinai and goes to the Orient and sets up the Draco cult called, you know, China, basically, she did not take Anki's genetics with her. No. And so the original Oriental skull is smaller and does not have the high brain, you see. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have the dragon cult there, but you do not have Anki's genetics. Of course, now you have some genetic diversity, but originally, you know, you have the very expanded amygdala, which is the mouth of the snake brain in the Orient, and they will scan you from there, but you do not have the high brain development or the bliss capability, actually.
Okay.
Not that. So that's the difference between the classic Draco, Uru, versus what Anki crossed when he crossed the Cro-Magnon. Another example was that the Rh negative story is, you know, the highest Rh negative blood on Earth is UK. You know, we only hug our dogs and our horses. It's an old joke, but effectively you have limited compassion because Rh is negative, which means rhesus monkey ain't there. The rhesus monkey had the compassion part, whereas the reptilian did not. But the reptilian was a shapeshifter. It doesn't mean the reptilian's the bad guy. You know, you can get good DNA, good
different genetics.
But the Rh negative means the Enki's part of the story was missing, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nature doesn't deal in good and evil.
Nature, that's right.
Good is an imbalance.
Yeah, good is only defined as charge propagation efficiency. Everything that serves charge propagation efficiency is good. Everything that inhibits charge from being distributed well and fractally is called evil, which simply means failure to embed.
Right. Right. Okay. You know what? Do you have any, I have to cut it short here. Do you have any conferences coming up? Are you giving any lectures?
I think we have two events in Melbourne, February and March. We have a couple of events in Byron Bay. And then we have Italian events in April. And then we'll probably have a whole new calendar in Europe again next year. I don't know if we're doing anything in North America. I think our South America tour this year is going to be mostly virtual. So you might stay tuned. The calendar's at goldenmean.info/course.
You need to come up to Canada. You ever come up to Canada and talk?
We did the last
two damn cold
years
up here.
We're there almost every year. I think we'll probably get there next year again. We have some wonderful friends in Halifax and Vancouver.
Okay, how about Toronto?
I haven't done lectures in Toronto in a long time. We did Vancouver, Calgary several years running, but
okay.
I haven't done Toronto in probably 5 or 10 years.
Oh, well, if you want to, just let me know. We'll set it up.
Well, thank you. Maybe next year we can have some fun. Who knows? Sounds good.
No, I mean, we've set up conferences here in the past, me and my co-host, Tom Theopanis. He's big on doing that. He used to run the Toronto MUPON, Ontario MUPON. He was the president. He used to set up conferences all the time.
So I see. Relates to what we're doing in Melbourne with those groups, too. Well, let's talk about it. We'll cook up some fun. Maybe late summer, fall, 2011. We'll see. Sounds like fun.
I'd love it. Okay, we've been talking to Dan Winter at www.goldenmean.info and his other assorted websites. Dan, if you want to give any contact information, if people want to get a hold of you, if they want to talk to you, want to email you and get some information from you, do you want to give that out?
Sure. Email danwinter@fractalfield.com. Feel free to say hi, and you'll find more contact information at goldenmean.info. Check out our technologies, theimploder.com. There's more context there. Love to be in touch. Let us know how we can practically help each other. The issue now is to actually apply this to your hygiene for bliss.
And get working on that free energy device.
Oh, that's cooking nicely.
Well, I want an update. When you guys have a working model and you're doing some demonstrations and stuff, I want to get a video for me and have you on there to talk about it.
Yes, we're going to burn water because we know how to sink to hydrogen.
That's right. And you can invite any of your cohorts who are working on it with you, and they can talk about it. You know, if you guys want to go over it, that'd be great. Thank you for your time, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thanks to your wonderful audience. Hope we stay in touch.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all, folks, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.